Chapter 10. Because Skippy could create wormhole shortcuts, Valkyrie arrived at Paradise before news of our existence reached that world. Our original plan was to jump in a few light minutes away from Paradise to identify ourselves and announce our intentions, then open a discussion. That plan got scrapped when we arrived in the outskirts of the system and saw that there was a large-scale fleet exercise in progress around the planet. The battle group assigned there, built around a pair of older battleships, was being replaced by a unit built around four battlecruisers. Someone in Ruhar fleet leadership had decided that after installing an expensive strategic defense system around Gitanu, the SD network had reached the point where it could take over most of the defense. Instead of tying down a full battle group to protect the growing number of inhabitants, the planet would become a base for ships that could range far from their home system. Some residents of Gitanu worried about the loss of a permanent presence of warships over their heads, having come to view the big guns of the battleships as a comfort. Others, perhaps more forward-thinking, viewed the changeover of battle groups as a sign that their federal government accepted Gitanu as an ordinary, growing, and increasingly prosperous part of the Ruhar Dominion. For certain, there had not been any more foolish talk of trading the planet to the Kristang. For certain also, no additional Elder artifacts had been found there, since the first group of priceless devices had been ruined by reckless experiments. Rumors flared up regularly about Elder artifacts secretly found and kept hidden from the authorities. Maybe those rumors were started by a submind, left behind by some asshole whose name rhymes with Skippy the Magnificent, but I can't comment on that. What I can say is that those rumors inspired many enthusiastic treasure hunters. Some of the treasure hunters were officially licensed and supported by the local government. The majority of those seeking fabulous riches were determined not to let a lack of permits get in the way of conducting scans and digging up half of the surface. Man, those people were going to be pissed when they learned that there were never any real Elder artifacts on that world except for one asshole beer can. Speaking of Skippy, he was upset about something.
Joe, I can't believe they did that. Of all the stupid, short-sighted, idiotic things to do, they had to—
What? I asked, not seeing anything on the main display that could cause him such distress.
They destroyed it, Joe. I knew the buildings were obsolete and the local government was talking about redeveloping the site, but those cretins knocked the whole thing down. Damn, we should never have left before—
Skippy, slow down, please. What are you talking about?
I am talking about the sacred site where we met. The warehouse where I was stored on a shelf for years before I suckered a bunch of monkeys into coming to that miserable world. Then I had the bad luck to meet you instead of—
Sir? Sims had her jaw set in a manner that told me Skippy and I were in big trouble. What did Skippy mean by suckering us to land on Paradise?
Crap. Why can't my brain think of anything intelligent to say when I really need it?
Still, saying was better than my original instinct of lying that I had no idea what Skippy meant.
Skippy?
I threw him under the bus. Can you explain that, please?
Okay, if I have to, he huffed. Like I told Joe a long time ago, I manipulated the Kristang into bringing you monkeys to Paradise so you could help get me off that miserable rock. It was a—
You what? Sims was glaring daggers at me.
XO, I am sure he is greatly exaggerating, I said in the lamest way possible, because of course I did.
He was stuck on a shelf in a warehouse back then. How could he—
Jeez Louise, Joe, I explained all this to you, Skippy huffed, because he is clueless and does not know when to shut up. Hey, I'll replay the video of me telling you about all this way back when, including all the backup documentation to prove that I did indeed manipulate humans, lizards, and the hamsters into—
Crap. I buried my face behind a hand.
Skippy, there are times when I would actually appreciate hearing less detail from you. How the hell am I supposed to know that? Damn, you freaking monkeys keep changing the rules.
Sir? Sims was giving me the look. You know what I mean.
Listen, XO. Yes, Skippy did claim that he did a bunch of sketchy shit to bring UNEF to Paradise, but he boasts a lot, so I don't know if—
You don't believe me? Skippy screeched, hurt.
Then why did you order me to lie about it if anyone asked? Oh, shit. Was I supposed to keep lying about it? Damn, aren't lies supposed to have an expiration date or something? Sims was glaring at me. The bridge crew was alternating between looking bewildered at what was going on, hurt that I had lied to them, and angry that I had concealed important information from them again. Shit. My stupid brain thinks up creative ways to save the freaking world, so why couldn't I think of a way out of this mess? You know what helpful suggestion my brain gave me? It decided my best move was to tell Sims that those pants did make her look fat so she could be mad at me about something else. No, I did not say that. Stupid brain. Not knowing what else to do, I stretched a hand out toward the main display like I was holding a remote. What are you doing? Sims asked, still glaring at me. Trying to hit the rewind button on this layer of reality. Exo, I have concealed a lot of wild stuff Skippy told me, mostly because it is OBE at this point. Maybe he manipulated events. Skippy, shut up, I warned him. Maybe he got UNEF here, and maybe he's just boasting after the fact. It doesn't matter, other than giving people another reason to be pissed off at him. Naturally, she zeroed in on the thing I wanted her to ignore. There are other things you haven't told us? That is not the point I was trying to make. Somehow I was digging an even deeper hole for myself. Sir, you didn't answer my question. Sims, there is nothing of any actual importance that, I searched my memory to determine if that was true. Yeah, I confirmed. I have told you everything important that I can remember. Now, can we go back to whatever the hell we were talking about? The warehouse, Joe, Skippy sniffed. That place was an important monument in the history of the galaxy, and the hamsters bulldozed it. They didn't know, Skippy. Yes, and why didn't they know? Because I have been flying around with filthy monkeys, hiding my greatness, instead of allowing the beings in this galaxy to bask in the glory that is me. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Skippy, come on. Is a dusty old warehouse truly worthy of commemorating you? I think the hamsters should build a shrine on that site. He gasped in a shuddering breath.
A shrine? To me? Joe?
His voice trailed off in a whisper.
That is the greatest idea you ever had.
Trying not to roll my eyes, I almost sprained a muscle. Since no human or Ruhar architect is worthy of designing a shrine to you, maybe you should get working on a design.
Another great idea.
You are on fire today, Joe. Bilby, take care of the ship. I have work to do. His avatar blinked out. Sims looked at me like she couldn't decide whether to be more disgusted with me or with Skippy. What's next, sir? I pointed at the main display. The hamsters are conducting a live fire exercise near Paradise. We should not jump in the middle of that. Their weapons are no great threat to us, Reed said from the pilot's couch. True, Fireball. I'm worried about one of their own ships getting caught in the crossfire. That's a risk we don't need to take.
We can transmit a message from here, sir, Sims suggested.
We could, I agreed. She cocked her head at me.
But we're not going to do that, are we?
I grinned.
Where's the fun in that?
Administrator Baterna Logelia waved to her driver as she walked from the car to the front door of her house, glancing at her watch to confirm the house AI had accepted her identification. Her husband was at a school function with their son, and their daughter was at a friend's house for dinner. Baterna anticipated an hour or so of time to herself that evening, an occasion that was all too rare in her life. The door automatically opened for her. She stopped to pluck a fragrant flower from a bush that she had planted years ago, before the responsibility of running the planet overwhelmed her ability to enjoy simple things like gardening. Stepping inside, she sniffed the flower as the door closed behind her. Trying to tuck the flower into a vase, she sighed when she saw the flowers already in the vase were wilted.
There was nothing to do but take the entire vase into the kitchen, where she drained the water into the sink, shaking her head with irritation. Neither her husband nor her two children had noticed the wilted flowers dropping petals on the floor by the door? No, they had noticed, just not done anything about it. She had not been home in 2 days, having spent time in orbit to welcome the admiral and captains of the incoming battle group, then paying a visit to the human government in their area of the planet. In the time she was away, no one in her household had lifted a finger to do... She laughed, setting the vase down. How many other women on Gitanu had the same complaints about household chores not done? It was good, she considered, for the person in charge of the world to experience ordinary domestic life, removed from the protected bubble she too often lived in. Her phone buzzed, using the tone reserved for important private calls. Staring at the screen, she saw it displayed unknown caller, which was not possible. Hello? She said cautiously. Madam Burgermeister? I kept my voice soft because I was speaking from the media room next to the kitchen. I could see her in the reflection of a window. Her back was to me. This is an old friend, Joe Bishop. She froze, her eyes growing wide.
Bishop? She asked.
Yes, it's me.
You're dead.
Apparently not, I laughed, a bit too loudly. In the reflection, I saw her hold the phone away from her ear and brush the hair away from her face. She must have realized she could hear my voice even without the phone. Hello, old friend, I spoke quietly as I stepped through the doorway.
Oh, you...
Clutching the phone to her chest, she took a step back, gasping. She squinted, studying me. It had been years since she had seen me.
It is you.
I held up my hands and stayed in the doorway, not getting any closer. Sorry if I startled you.
Why are you here?
Burgermeister, I want to talk. To explain. I have rather shocking news, and I want you to be the first to hear. She relaxed slightly, straightening up.
Because I am the administrator?
No, because a long time ago I learned that I could trust you.
How did you get in?
Wait. She put a finger to her lips.
I need to contact my security force. They will have heard you.
No need for that. I grinned. Trust me, they haven't heard anything we don't want them to hear. You are in no danger, I emphasized.
Who is we? Is Emily Perkins part of this? Whatever this is?
No. Perkins was as surprised as you are when she learned I am alive.
How are you alive?
It is a long story. I'll try to make it short. Do you have any tea? She looked around her kitchen, confused, then tilted her head at me.
As I remember, Sergeant Bishop, you can't drink our tea.
I can't, I said with a shrug as I pulled a tea bag from a pocket. Do you have a cup and hot water? We sat on her couch like we used to sit on the couch in the comfortable home of Lester Cornhut and sipped our teas. Mine was some ordinary generic tea I got from Valkyrie's galley. Hers smelled like perfume, exactly as I remembered.
Very well, Colonel Bishop, she said as she perched her teacup on her knee.
I noticed she couldn't help automatically glancing at the tiny security camera on the upper corner of the room.
How did you get here? And how is my house AI not reacting to your presence?
Before we start, I think it's best if you set that teacup on the table. Please. Some of the stuff that's happened to me, I can barely believe. It was a good sign that she took my advice. Resting her hands primly in her lap, she waited for me to explain. I'm going to start at the beginning and try to keep this short. You are going to have a lot of questions. Okay. I took a breath. During the Panther flight down to Paradise, I had outlined everything I wanted to tell her, paring it down to the minimum. Details could wait for later. First, when I left this planet in the stolen Dodo, none of your people nor the Kristang were involved. We flew away, transmitting codes identifying us as a Cristang commando team. One of their frigates took us aboard. We killed the crew and captured that ship. Then we rendezvoused with a Thorannan star carrier, boarded, and took over that ship. From there, we flew to Earth, temporarily shutting down the local wormhole behind us. The lizards who were holding Earth, the White Wind Clan, they're dead. All of them. Since then, I paused for breath. We have been flying our stolen star carrier around the galaxy, stopping one alien ship after another that was planning to fly to our homeworld. First, there was a Thorannan surveyor ship. We destroyed it and blamed the attack on the Jarraptha. Next, the Fire Dragon clan of the Cristang tried to negotiate with your people to arrange a ride to Earth. In disguise, we conducted a mock attack on the negotiation party, and when that didn't work, we started the current civil war that is tearing the lizards apart. Several times we prevented the Maxalts from going to Earth. That includes wiping out the entire battle group they sent through the last wormhole in your territory. To do that, we stole a Maxalts battle cruiser. You know it as the ghost ship that is supposedly being flown by a rogue group of Bos Farrakh. That is my ship, my current command. We call that ship Valkyrie. It is in stealth about 12 light seconds from here. I pointed toward the ceiling. This whole time, the fact that humans have been flying around the galaxy, that humans can control the operation of Elder wormholes, has been a secret. Now we no longer need to hide. Our homeworld is protected by a cache of Elder weapons. We have planted additional Elder weapons, in stealth and on timers, in multiple star systems of both the Maxalts and Rindaloo. If we do not regularly send commands to reset those timers, the weapons will explode and sentinels will rampage across the galaxy. So, I took another breath. Do you have any questions for me? She pursed her lips, her hands still folded in her lap.
Forgive me if I do not appreciate human attempts at humor.
This is not a joke, Administrator. Valkyrie will jump into orbit on my signal. Before I do that, I need you to contact the battle groups above our heads and tell them to stand down. We do not want to risk your ships shooting in panic.
I see.
Her lips were still firmly pressed together.
Colonel Bishop, I am sure you truly believe what you have told me, and
I can prove it. Her nose twitched. That gesture was equivalent to a shrug.
Humans are simply not capable of doing any of the things you told me. No one is capable of controlling an Elder wormhole.
Embi is, I said quietly.
Embi?
That's the part of the story I left out. Do you remember the mysterious benefactor who helped Perkins and her team reactivate those maser cannons years ago?
Yes,
she answered warily. Embi is an Elder AI. We call him Skippy. He has been helping us. He is capable of controlling Elder wormholes. I found him on a shelf in the warehouse I escaped from before we stole the Dodo. Skippy is how we escaped, how we all got away from this planet.
This is all rather...
Yeah, I nodded. Hell, some of the stuff that's happened to me I can hardly believe. Skippy, will you show your magnificent self, please? His avatar shimmered to life on the coffee table. He made a bow toward the Burgermeister. Greetings, Administrator Logelia. There was no boasting, no sign of his usual arrogance. That was the result of intensive coaching by me prior to flying down to the surface. The coaching did help. Mostly, I think he remembered getting burned during his flashy introductions to the Mavericks, Cadet Dandurf, and Sergeant Jates. He agreed that perhaps a low-key introduction might be better.
That, the Burgermeister was not impressed, is simply a hologram. My children can create holograms.
It's not, I protested. Elder AIs. She looked at me with a combination of irritation and pity.
Do not, I think, typically wear human script.
She pointed to the UNEF patch on Skippy's gaudy uniform. Oh, that. This is Skippy's avatar. He created it to interact with us. The crew of the ship, I mean. Skippy, can you show her what you really look like? An avatar of my canister? He frowned. I have never done that. It seems redundant. Yes, but since you are not really here, I explained. Skippy was in his new man cave aboard Valkyrie, controlling his avatar through a micro-wormhole. One end of that magical tunnel through space-time was inside a containment chamber in my backpack, the other end aboard our battlecruiser. Oh, sure. The Grand Admiral Skippy avatar was replaced by a very realistic hologram of his shiny can. This is my physical form in local space-time. She leaned forward, peering at the hologram. It appears to be a beverage container. Joseph, this is silly. She was clearly still not impressed. Why does everyone say that? Skippy sniffed as his avatar shifted back to the Admiral's outfit. A cylinder is the best shape for optimal power management in this local space-time. I don't know why everyone is surprised that... Ma'am, I said with my most charming smile. I know this is difficult to believe, but Skippy is Emby, or he was back then. Please, all we need you to do is contact the fleet and alert them that the ghost ship will appear shortly. Your ships are conducting a live fire exercise with a lot of directed energy and missiles flying around. We wish to avoid anyone getting hurt because of a misunderstanding. If you were in my position, what would you do? She asked. Yeah, I'd ask for proof before I risked looking like a fool. Skippy, take control of weapons and navigation systems of the ships up there. What are you doing? Her posture changed from wary disbelief to alarm. It will take a couple minutes, Joe, Skippy stated. Those ships are scattered all over a radius of 37 light seconds, and I'm limited to speed of light. Plus, there is a squadron of frigates jumping around on picket duty. I haven't been able to confirm they received the update. Colonel Bishop, I must insist you tell me what you are doing. The Burgermeister stood up from the couch abruptly. Holding up my hands, I spoke quietly. Only preventing your ships from getting themselves into trouble. They will soon be unable to fire weapons, and the missiles in flight will be temporarily disabled. You can do that? Skippy can. I pointed to his avatar. He hacked into the command and control systems of the flagships for both battle groups and implanted code that allows him direct access to major systems on those ships. The software update propagated to all ships in each battle group, except possibly for that frigate squadron he mentioned. Oh, we also have control of your SD network. You are disabling our warships? No. I held up my hands again. Not disabled. They will temporarily be unable to use weapons or their jump drives. We are doing this for the safety of your people, I assured her. What I did not say was that word would get around that the merry band of pirates had taken over warships like puppets, and that would make a whole lot of asshole aliens out there think twice about screwing with us. Also, I had not told her that Skippy had taken several hours to carefully hack into the flagships, even though our stealth ship brought him within a range that was unlikely to occur during space combat. Ma'am, we could have done this without you. I came here out of respect for you, and to repay your kindness to me and my people. She clenched her fists. I cannot allow you to do this. Done, Skippy announced. Those stupid frigates did not get the update, but all other ships are under my control. Administrator, one moment, please. I held up a finger in a gesture I was sure she recognized. Valkyrie, this is Bishop. Valkyrie Actual here, Sims replied, speaking English. Sims, get ready to jump on my signal. Switching back to Ruha, I gestured toward the back door of the house, which opened to a very pleasant garden. Ma'am, would you like to go outside? She was not happy with the situation, made worse because her phone didn't work, and the house AI refused her commands. For a moment, I thought she was going to run to the front door and call for the security team that was parked outside. If that happened, Skippy had instructions to open the door for her. I was not going to cause an interstellar incident by kidnapping an alien leader. Please. I held out a hand as she hesitated in the doorway. On the garden path, I was looking up into the early evening sky. We had timed the event so Valkyrie could be seen on the northern continent where we were, and also in Lemuria, where most humans lived. There were a few clouds in the sky. Even Skippy couldn't do anything about that on such short notice. It didn't matter at the moment. We had clear sky above us. When the Burgermeister stepped out and followed my lead by looking up, I whispered, "Sims, it's showtime." Valkyrie appeared in very low orbit, the hull lit up with blazing lights. To the naked eye, it was still only a dot, so I pulled a pair of binoculars from a pocket and handed them to the Burgermeister. She took them without a word, looking up. I heard her gasp. She had to recognize the distinctive profile of the fearsome ghost ship. Surely she had seen intelligence reports about the attacks on the Maxulks. Lowering the binoculars, she stared at me.
"That is your ship?"
"It's not mine," I said with an aw-shucks shrug. "The ship is under my command, yes."
"Everything you told me is true?"
"Every word of it, I promise," I told her, as the sound of sirens rang in the distance. There was also the faint thumping of her security team pounding on her front door.
"I see," she said, using the binoculars to look at the glowing starship again. "Colonel Bishop, you have honored me by speaking my language. May I tell you my reaction in your own native tongue?"
"Sure, please, go ahead."
"Holy fucking shit, Joe."
That made me laugh. The Burgermeister was a no-nonsense lady, but I had never heard her cuss before. At that moment, it seemed entirely appropriate. She laughed, too.
"Colonel, I should go let my security team into the house before they have heart attacks."
"That's probably a good idea. After that, could you contact the battle groups? I want to restore control as soon as they acknowledge Valkyrie is not hostile. We would like friendly relations with your people," I added.
"Admiral Bosjanian may be difficult to convince,"
she named the commander of the outgoing battleship group. My response was a shrug. "Then her flagship will take longer to have control restored."
"Oh, Joe," Skippy's avatar appeared on a garden bench. "If this Bosjanian woman is being a jackass, is it okay for me to screw with her? The artificial gravity on her ship is..."
"No, you may not screw with an ally," I grimaced, wagging a finger at him. "Ma'am, one thing I neglected to inform you is that Skippy can be kind of an asshole at times."
"Hey," he objected, "that is not true."
"It is true, you..."
"I am the supreme asshole all the time," he chuckled.
"Colonel," the Burgermeister shook her head, "I see what you mean.